Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio. Our show tonight is TNT, Tanya Talks, and we'll get to her in just a moment. But before we get started, I want to remind everyone that Tanya Hathaway is not an attorney and cannot give and does not give legal advice. She's an activist, advocate, victim survivor, whistleblower, blogger, author, and speaker. You go, girl. Tanya strives to give opinion and resources, discusses options, and encourages moving forward and bringing justice to Oklahoma and realizing the true access to justice as our Constitution was and is meant to be. And that is my phone, and I am so sorry. Excuse me. Tanya, take it away, sweetie.
You got it. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Marty, for your faithful forum and producing TS show with PPJ Gazette, and it's just made such a difference in people's lives. And already, because of her long-standing advocacy and whistleblowing herself, gives us a great audience to begin with TNT Talks, where your voice is heard and your story is told, and that's just what we're going to start doing tonight. Okay, so before we get started, I want you all to remember that at the beginning of the show now, and then you can choose whether to keep it on or not by the time the show is over, mark your calendars for next Sunday and every Sunday after that, depending on what time frame you're in. If you're in Central Standard Time, it's going to be 6 o'clock p.m. If you're in Eastern Time, it's going to be 7 o'clock p.m., if you're in Pacific, it's going to be 4 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time. I didn't look that one up, but I know there was a little bit of misunderstanding. But let's just keep that in mind as we are marking our calendars. And as well, the shows are archived right on Marty's website. And so I just wanted to remind everybody of that. I also want to introduce to you at the beginning of this show and at the end, I'll remind you as well. Next Sunday's guest will be a former informant, an undercover for the FBI in Oklahoma. Now, he has turned whistleblower because of what he learned and what took place while he was undercover for the FBI in Oklahoma. And this is directly involving what's in the major news media in Oklahoma, as well as throughout the nation, the Jerry Varnell failed, thank goodness, bombing attempt at a major bank in Oklahoma and how that took place. Okay, so he'll be on the show next Sunday. I'm not going to announce the names or anything like that yet, but you'll see the link. I'll also bring a video to life before the show comes on. And you might even hear some clips in advance of what he's going to share with you that was recorded. Okay? So, Jerry Varnell is set for trial coming up, I believe it's next month. Okay. So, every week before we have our guests on, I'm also going to share with you a typical day in Oklahoma and some things that get reported and some things that don't get reported. And these are about the public servants, those that govern certain venues and agencies, courts, and even more in Oklahoma. So as reported on the 19th, the OSBI, which is the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, investigated an Oilton, Oklahoma mayor and reported that he has been arrested for alleged kickbacks and embezzlement regarding some Creek County underhanded negotiations that didn't go so well once he was found out. So we're all wondering what we don't know. Well, what we do know is that the mayor's name is Patrick Leon Kennedy, and he has been booked and is on $30,000 bond in Creek County. Okay, so it just so turns out that the Oilton town mayor is also the supervisor over the Public Works Authority. Now, what do you think about that? Is there any conflict there? I would think so. There were two witnesses to this that happened to be workers also with the Public Works. And they were basically coerced, allegedly, by the good mayor, Patrick Leon Kennedy, for being involved in the kickbacks and embezzlement. Now, these two workers are not being charged. They have cooperated, and basically their jobs were at stake. And so because of that kind of coercement, they are, and the fact that they have, you know, come out and they're trying to make everything right, I'm going to expose the corruptions, their lives and their livelihood on the surface at this point are not at risk. Okay? So I read comments based on what's come out in the news. One of the comments says, it's just another day in Creek County. Another comment is, now investigate him for illegal acts against property owners. Another comment is, the only time Oilton makes the news is when something bad happens. Bad cop, bad mayor, sad. So this, like many other counties, many other towns, municipalities, is the tip of the iceberg. And that's what I read when I read comments like, now investigate him for illegal acts against property owners. You know, how long have people been waiting at his alleged illegal acts? There's so many of us out there that are ready to expose, and now we've got that forum because we're here, and we need you to share your stories to bring this state to justice. We're talking about Oklahoma here. So Oilton, there's about a thousand people in that town, okay? In the county, it's about 70,000. So there's a lot of little towns that aren't necessarily spoken for. We see a lot of things happening in Tulsa County and Oklahoma City County. Well, it doesn't just happen there. This seems to be saturated and systematic in Oklahoma. And now we've got another situation here today that I think is going to touch the hearts of many of you listeners out there when you hear this story. You're going to know this is not an isolated incident. But I've had some dialogue with Patrick Cross, who is one of the two guests on tonight, along with his son, Christian Cross. And now I have a call coming in, and I'm going to deny that call. And so Kristen was brutally beat up, has suffered facial injury, been through surgery, and is still recovering. And it's been a few months now. His father, Patrick, got in touch with me, and he let me know what took place and his effort to bring this matter to justice. And they've done everything that they are supposed to do. They've cooperated. They've provided reports. They've provided witnesses. And here they stand, 3 months later at least, as the witnesses tend to get a little stale at that point, evidence, forensics, things tend to get stale, and nothing has happened to defend this young man who remains out of work still, given his excessive injuries and the trauma that he has been exposed to. Now, this falls under the category of hate crimes tonight. And so, Patrick, first I'm going to bring you in. Are you there, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So, Patrick, do you mind just giving me a little bit of a background about you, your family, where you're from? What brings you to, again, this little town of Panama that has a population of, oh, goodness, I looked it up, just a few hundred, I believe,
yeah,
in the little town of Panama?
Yeah.
I'm on the floor.
Excuse me, I didn't hear all that question.
So I'm going to give you the floor, and if you don't mind, if you can just, you know, outline what brought you to Oklahoma. Tell me a little bit about your family. Tell me about the population, about how things have been for you since you moved to the town of Panama. You mentioned all those traffic stops when we were talking earlier today.
Yeah, that was a few years back. I've been here almost 20 years now. But when I first moved here, my welcome, I mean, I guess I was, quite interesting to the law enforcement. They pulled me over frequently. Actually, it was every day back in the day. And he pulled me over. He talked, never for a violation or anything. And, I guess just holding conversation with me and getting to know who was new in their community. You know, we come from California, larger place than this here. So, when we got here, first thing I did notice was the lack of the African-American people in the, immediate area. There's not that mm-hmm. many black people for some reason in these immediate areas.
You mentioned that there are two black families in your town now?
Well, yeah, in the town that I live in, there were originally one black family in Bluefords or something other like that, and then we came along. They've had maybe, a couple of black citizens move in and out here and there. I mean, but it's not where you would say it's evenly mixed. You probably have, I don't know, if I was to give a percentage, I'd say probably about, 80%, 70% Caucasian, and I don't even know what percent to put on the Hispanics. It's probably like maybe four or five families if you can gather them all right away.
So, Patrick, about that at all, or, when you moved into the area, that didn't bother you necessarily, did it?
Well, not really, because I come from a interracial background, even in California. My stepdad's a Caucasian, so we never really had a race problem that bothered us. We didn't live that way. When we got here, on the other hand, by it being so small, and mind you, I come to the state to watch the property for my mom because they hadn't retired yet. They were still in California, and the people when they saw who rented here, they really didn't want my mom here. They called a couple of times before they retired to try to buy the property off of them. But I mean, we've been here 20 years now almost, and people have settled down. It's not as rough, like I said here. I'm kind of rooted here. I don't really have problems now. I stay out of everybody's way,
So that's interesting. And I had written down a quote that mm-hmm. you said earlier, and it seemed very natural for you to say this, but you said, exactly, you said you hide and stay out of their way.
Well, it's not so much a hide. You stay out of way. When I first moved here, I was a little bit younger. I come from a bigger city, so I wasn't used to being closed in. I was used to being free going. You know, you go where you want to go. Well, here, even when I worked the oil field here, I mean, I was back in the South, and then when you get here, to me, the South is where it's okay to be. People say some of the dumbest stuff, you know, like prime example. I'm on a drilling rig. We're working. There was an all-Hispanic crew come from Texas to nipple up the BOP. Well, I was the only black guy on my crew that actually worked for the company. Being honest, I was the only black that worked for the whole entire company. It was rough drilling. We were in Calhoun, Oklahoma, when the crew come in to nipple us up to get us ready to spud. After we spudded, to nipple up the BOP. Well, one of the guys I worked with on my crew heard me speaking Spanish to one of the Hispanic guys, and he said, well, I didn't know you spoke Mexican. And I was like, excuse me. And he said, well, I didn't know you spoke Mexican. And I told him, I said, well, I didn't know there was a language that was actually called Mexican. I said, it's called Spanish. And he proceeded to say that he didn't like Mexican people. And I asked him, well, what did a Mexican ever do to you? And his response was, I just don't like them. You know. So with that being said, I'm used to that. I've been here, like I said, 20 years. I've been around people that are acquaintances. I still know them right to this day. I've known them for 9.5 years, and one day I wasn't welcome at the house because I was black. So, you know, when you're around stuff like that, you hear, and like I told one of my sons when he moved here from out of state, in the bigger cities, the kids have to worry about peer pressure for us, you know, being put in the gangs and getting stuff taken from them and all that, you know. And there where he was, he got jumped in the third grade in the bathroom. And when he come here to go to school, and I told him, I said, it's different here than in Louisiana, son. I said, here, you don't have to worry about the things you had to worry about there. You know, I said, here, you're going to have to worry about things that are going to blow your mind, like somebody's going to call you the N-word, you know. And I had to tell my son, if you come home suspended because somebody put their hands on you, then I'm not going to be mad. But if you come home suspended because you hit somebody because they called you the N-word, then I'm going to be mad because you're allowing them to teach you out your education, is what I told him. So, I mean, with that being said, they learn how to deal with it here. And, I mean, we're in the South. It is what it is. I had a friend that come here from Reno. She's a Caucasian woman. She knew people here before. She's married her previous husband. Well, she come back here. I helped her out with her kids, and she left one day to go visit. She's living with me in this house. And she come back crying because her friends told her she wasn't allowed over there because she was seeing me and staying back here with me. And I laughed, and she got upset because I laughed. And she goes, how could you laugh at such a thing like that? I say, I realize where I'm at. I'm in the South. You know, not saying that it's okay, but people are going to do some of the dumbest stuff here because this is what some of them believe in. You know.
So you have a built-in tolerance, and to protect your loved ones, you've tried to let them know that life is going to be hard if you don't have that same built-in tolerance.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Exactly, because most
and
people
what kind
here.
What world is that, listeners? Okay, can I get your attention, listeners? What kind of a flipping world is that?
Well,
I mean,
come on. Surely,
I applaud you for saying that because you want to keep your loved ones safe and in check, and you're not telling them that that's okay, but you want them to be okay. But listeners, when is this okay? It's that somebody has adapted and has to adapt basically for survival, okay, to that level of tolerance where, you know, they just stay out of their way, and it is what it is because of a color? What kind of a world is that?
All I can tell you is this. I've seen this place. I've been here for a while. I used to get in trouble. I've had a few run-ins with the law. I've had a few dealings with the system here. I've never had to worry about justice for my child, though. So now I'm at it from a different angle of it. You see what I'm saying? It's okay if you hate me and you don't want to give me a right to a free trial, or you don't want to, you know, do whatever to me. But for my children, you know, he grew up here, you know. He's been here since he was a child. You know, he's 20 years old now. He graduated school from here. But I don't want to teach my kids that racism is okay, but, I mean, the way the whole world is going now. Look at the president who we have running our country now. I mean, it's just
okay.
So many things now that's okay. I hate to even go there, but I'm just saying. If I was a younger person
is going to have to be, because there's so many different views and so much reporting that on my website and my Facebook page,
right.
We won't even bring politics in it because, unfortunately,
right.
It creates divide instead of the united interest that we all have. What I can say about politics is that it has created hate in general, all right?
Exactly.
You know,
Right, right. That's fine. I'm sorry about that, too. But what I will say is this right here. This is what I'm dealing with right now. I know, I can honestly say that if it was myself dealing with, let's turn the tables around and flip the people around. Let's put someone else in my son's position. And let's put me in the position of one of the three kids that done this to my son. Right,
yeah.
And I know for a fact, and I can honestly say right here in the name of Jesus Christ, that had this would have been me, the night, let me see, on this report when he filed it, 10/20/17, that night I would have been arrested. And I would probably still be sitting in jail right now.
And why?
Okay. Why? Because, for one, I'm not in the community. I would say that I don't have family that works in the court system. I don't have family that contribute and pay, you know. I'm not a positive or a strong pillar of the community, if you will say that. And for one, that I'm of a different agenda. I really feel that just because my son is a black kid and the kids that done this are Caucasian and their parents are well-rooted and well-founded in this place, we are of no importance, and basically that's what they're showing us. I went to the DA office, and I have a log for the whole 3 months now. We've been chasing this ghost lady, Margaret Nicholson, and then
she is the district attorney who is on the case that is supposed to be representing your son, right, or going after the alleged criminal.
She's the one that's
case.
Supposed to be analyzing the whole scenario to see if there's enough evidence to even pursue a case. And it's taken this woman, it's been 3 months and 1 day today. And then I was told about 2 or 3 days ago, I don't remember correctly, I think it was either Thursday, between Wednesday and Friday, I was told that she was on jury trial. So apparently this is a DA that cannot multitask. It's took over
walking
3 months.
Gum, as you said earlier.
Exactly. And she still hasn't filed. They don't even have a case number. If we were to go right now, there's nothing been done with this. You know, and my son is almost healed from some of his injuries. How do you say it? The exterior part, the visual part of it. I know he's still sore inside where the bone is trying to heal around the metal and all that. But all the.
And the picture that we posted earlier. Not to interrupt you, but I want to just point out a couple of things to listeners. The picture that was posted earlier on Injustice in Oklahoma Exposed on the Facebook page, that picture was taken days after the injury took place.
Actually,
so that
was actually about 2 days after, I think.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that. So for everybody that's listening, I want you to know, just as on the initial pilot show, now, I have had dialogue with Mr. Cross, okay? He has shown me reports. He has, you know, given me the information that, as Marty and I promised, we would have to have to vet people that are on here to share their story and for their voice to be heard, that leads us to believe, me to believe, that, you know, there's a case of injustice that's taking place here. There's denial of due process that is taking place. And if those that were actually caused harm on Mr. Cross's son, if this had happened to them, that the action would have been lickety split against
the alleged
perpetrators of exactly. So, okay, so
no
let's continue on. I just wanted to, you know,
especially
to let the listeners know.
In my creed, in my background, especially
right.
someone in, you know, of my background, especially mm-hmm. someone of my race. I really do believe that I have no choice but to watch and see. You know, I've been in a situation here where it led to me going to that place several times. I've seen, and it don't matter financially. I've seen, and I don't want to even really sound like this and cry wolf, but and I don't have some of the problems that the people have. I'm not on the drugs that they're on, but I've seen people get away with stuff, and they're doing, you know, just unmentionable stuff where you think, wow, you know, at least, you know, somebody need to have something done for it, you know, and then you wonder why situations don't get better around here. Because it's
right.
Justice is not for everyone here, you know.
Right, and after we have your son Christian on, I'm going to want to, you know, go to some of those things that we had talked about earlier that you shared with me, where, you know, the punishment isn't fitting the crime, and if this happened to someone else. So now, before we go any further again, we're going to say, we're going to make sure that if we have any question whatsoever is as to if any of the perpetrators of these crimes might be under legal age, we will not use their names, okay? So we cannot use their names if we believe they might be under 18. You can refer to them as Mr. Doe 1 or whatever, but
right,
I do
right.
know there is a family that you are referring to, where you are more than welcome to bring up who this family is, because they're well known and supposedly well rooted and respected in the town. And so once again, these are all, everything that takes place on here, it's alleged, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I have every reason to believe that what Mr. Cross and his son are sharing tonight are truthful. Okay? So. Okay. So.
Now,
and
as all I can say is for the parents of one of the alleged, I'll just say perpetrators in the incident with my son, the parents are they're well-rooted in the community. They own several businesses that are up and functional right to this day. They have
and what
been,
town is this, and what are those businesses? And go ahead and give me the names of the adults.
It's the town is Poteau, Oklahoma. It's the town.
Poteau, P-O-T-E-A-U.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the parents' name is Johnson. I know the dad is Rich Johnson. He owns Johnson's Construction and the metal shop. I don't even know the name of the metal shop out there on the highway. And I don't know his wife's name. The wife owned an establishment called the Coffee Cup right there in Poteau, downtown Poteau.
And where is the Coffee Cup right next to?
It's right next to the courthouse. The courthouse, the Poteau Police Station is there in that vicinity. I mean, these are all walking distance of the Coffee Cup.
Okay,
the jail. It's actually right across the street from the jail, if you will.
Boy, oh boy, huh?
Yeah.
boy, oh boy. So now, Richard Johnson, I know you've had dialogue with him only recently over the last few months, given this incident with his family member or members,
right.
and your son. Now, does he, through his businesses, have municipal or government contracts that you're aware of?
You know, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I'm sure. I'm looking at a building that they're doing right now that's actually right on the main highway in Poteau, and it's a pretty big building. It's a commercial building, so I'm sure he does. I'm sure they do.
Okay.
A public building that they're building. They're almost done with it. Yeah, right.
Okay, so it's a public building,
yeah,
a public
it's
establishment.
Kind of store. It's going to be some kind of store of some sort. I don't know exactly what.
they're well respected, well revered, and you feel well protected in the community?
Oh, definitely. I won't get into names and things, but I've had professional people, and when I say professional people, some of them even law enforcement that mentioned that he had specific entities in his pocket, basically is the way they told me. So they
okay.
told me pretty much that's why, what, you know, they said they don't agree with what's going on, but that's why, you know. And when we had the incident, incident with my son happened on the 20th. Then another incident happened Saturday, which was the day after, and we're about ready to bring your son on. And that happened, and then that's when I actually got to meet the dad, and we got to discuss and stuff. But I mean, right there when the officers showed up to that situation there, I mean, right out of the car, it was how born rich. I mean, right away, like, and these were all the officers that were in charge. So
mm-hmm.
I mean, I just stood there, and, you know, but no,
checked in with the father, with Richard Johnson, saying, "Hey, how you doing, Rich?" kind of thing. Clearly relationships were established, and you know, there didn't seem to be a neutral atmosphere from the beginning.
No, he's definitely known. He's well known. He's well known. I mean, it is what it is. Like I said, you know, this kid had, I tried to get a hold of some of the videos that I've actually saw. And this kid's been fighting and doing his thing for a while. You know,
okay.
I even asked the dad why he don't do it professionally. You know, why are they doing what they're doing, you know?
Okay, so let's put out. What is one of the other businesses that Richard Johnson has so faithfully brought to the community?
As far as I know, I know he's a founder, from what I've been investigating and found out. He was the founder of a fight club called the Redneck Fight Club.
Okay.
So.
And that's okay. That's okay. It gives young men and women or whoever it is, you know, the opportunity to train and have, you know, and get involved in, you know, in professional fighting. That's just fine. And, you know, on the surface, that's just fine if that's what it is, right? You don't have a problem with that, do you?
No.
Right.
No.
Okay. Right. But
the problem
is when it goes outside of that fight club.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen several, I wouldn't even call them arranged fights, because the way they did my son, he had no aware of what was about to take place to him. So I really couldn't say if the fights that I saw on the video didn't end up that way. Somebody was lowered to a specific place to end up facing him. They put the vehicles in a circle, and they did their thing, you know. Which,
well,
that would have been fine, too, but that didn't even happen with my son, you know.
But, you know, if there's a fight club, a boxing club or whatnot, you would expect that there is a professional club that sets up two willing parties to participate in whatever that venue is. It's not only one willing participant. It's not only one that's aware that there's going to be a fight. And from what I heard, the young man, okay, I'll be nice, the young man that hurt your son, because he was so set up, it's not like, you know, he's 10 years old and couldn't fend, you know, but he was set up, this from what I understand. So what I understand, he was on a roll. He had been doing this for many days.
Well, yeah, he had about 3 weeks, 3 weeks of fights before he got around the Christian, is what I found out.
Okay, and you've seen videos of some of those fights,
I've seen
some video of what happened to your son, right?
Well, I didn't see a video of what happened to my son. There was no video of it. I saw a video of a fight that took place the next night after they did my son. That was in the parking lot.
Oh, okay.
Hang on. Yeah, I saw a fight where he fought somebody else, and that was after the other deal at the park.
The Redneck Club, an official fight that was set up.
Well, you know,
was basically...
now, can I say this? I really don't think that their son is actually a part of that, because from what I'm being told, that he was some kind of championship wrestler for Poto High School, state champion, like 2 or 3, maybe 4 times. I could be wrong. But I know the dad founded the fight club. I know one of the brothers is a fighter. Cage fighter. This little kid here, I really don't know what his angle was. I don't think he was representing any particular fight club because he used his own name. And at some of the videos, they just said my boy, and they said his name, whip ass again, and some of them that even state whips a grown man's ass. I mean, it's point blank, that's all they said. So this is a hobby of theirs and a little.
If there's a fight club and a fight to take place, wouldn't it be in a controlled environment?
Well, it should be if it's professional, if it's legal.
Exactly. Okay. Okay. That's where we're going here. Okay. So, Christian,
I've been told so many different things. I've investigated different things, and I've been told by several of the younger crowd that hang out that most of their fights are randomly picked. They also said that when the night they done Christian, they were messaging and saying, let's find somebody that we don't like and get them here and jump them. And okay. I guess my son was the victim.
Yeah, so it's just the entertainment for the night. And
Pretty much,
for purposes, you know, the Johnson family is a white family, right?
Yeah, they're pretty much respected in photo. I mean, far as, you know, the way it goes. From what I've been told, I've talked to a couple of professional people.
Respected or projected? Respected or projected? I'm not respecting very much about the Johnson family right now. I'll tell you that much. All right?
Well, you know, I understand what you're saying. But, I mean, far as the look and the way they look like probably the pillars of this society. I mean, honestly. You know.
Right. Right. Okay. And I'm going to let our listeners know that in my conversation with Mr. Cross earlier, that he had made reference to his great respect for public officials and officers that are on the right side of the law. So anything that I've heard from him has not ever been anti-government, anti-police officer, anti-district attorney, anything like that. It has been a matter of who's on the right side of the law or not. Am I correct in quoting you that way or summarizing?
You are correct. I have no problem against the officer that's going to be fair to everybody. You know, I only thing I can say to justify my thoughts is, and I know you're supposed to respect authority, but it will come easier for you and I to respect the officer that's a genuine, true patriot and an officer that believes in his job than to respect the officer that steals money from, you know, that's corrupt. I'll just make it short and say that. Now, which one would you respect? How are you going to obey authority and do what an officer says if you realize that they're corrupt? You're not going to, you know, it's kind of hard to render respect to them people, you know. But if you have an officer that, you know, that knows you're a human being, that, you know, believes in, you know, actually doing his job and making sure that your rights is more important than anybody else's, just like everybody else. And if he treats you as well as he treats me, then that's a genuine guy. Then you can't not knock somebody that's trying to do their job, you know.
And you met any of those good guys? In LaFleur County. Come on. Have you met any good guys? You don't have to tell their names because you might need to protect them.
Let's just say it like this. I've met a couple okay officers. I will say that for sure. You know, for one, the deputy that handled my son's case, I don't think he did anything wrong. He did everything that he told me he was going to do, all the way up until submitting that paper. He even come back and told us that the fact that my son damages was done made it a felony charge. You know, so he done everything that he was supposed to do, and I was totally satisfied with what he was doing. You know, and I don't want to bring up old wounds, but, I mean, you know, we're not perfect people, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and say you're perfect when you're not, but I'm not going to say you're effed up because you're a part of an establishment when you're not either. You know, there are a few good officers, I guess, you know, here that I've had their time to meet, you know, and it can be something small or something, you know, but there are a couple, you know, that I've met.
Yep. And from what I've told you about you yourself personally not being a perfect person, I would say that you're pretty darn that you've not done anything that I've seen or heard from you and that I've looked into that has caused physical or harm, you know, to others. I haven't seen or heard from you anything that is heinous or brutal or whatnot against others. So you're imperfect, well, like many of us are imperfect, and some people are caught at being imperfect and they learn their lessons, and some people aren't caught and hopefully can learn their lessons too. And some people aren't caught and then they go on to get into bigger trouble or cause more trouble.
Well,
and that includes enforcement.
My thing is this. My son was hurt. I mean, all jokes aside, my son was hurt. And if it hadn't been from what I've been told, some of the girls that was around him, he probably would even been dead. And the way they're handling this now, it scares me just to think the what ifs. You know, and he deserves, you know, he's here now with several thousand dollars of medical bills. He has no job. You know,
and he's alive, from what I heard.
Yeah,
so
he's lucky he's alive.
He's lucky he's alive. So Christian, I'd like you to give us to talk to us here now, and thank you so much for being willing to come on and tell your story. And I'm sorry this has happened to you, and I hope that your recovery is coming along. But if you can give a blow by blow, no pun intended, I'm sorry, no pun intended at all, but of what happened to you that night and how you came to be at this place where you were, where it happened to you. Welcome to the show, Christian.
Hi, yes. How this came about was, it was me and a guy had a little argument, nothing too serious. Am I echoing? Oh, let me scoot back. Anyways, I had purchased a motorcycle, and when I had got it, right, the title had white out on it, and I couldn't even get it tagged or do anything with it, so the dude tried to rip me off with the bike. So he was still wanting more money for me, and I was like, I got to go figure out the tacking and stuff, so I got to wait to give you some money. So as I go get this bike tagged, I'm already paying so much money, and I can't pay him any money because I'm already paid over what I was supposed to pay him just to get it on the road because it hasn't been tagged since 2008, and it's just a very bad deal, and he tried to rip me off. He tried to do it to, like, too many people.
Bad blood going on there, right? There was a little bad blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what brought you to this place where you went to? Were you invited? Was this a home? Was it?
Yes, I was invited. I was invited out into the bottoms, and out into the lake, just out into the sticks. And it was just a bad ordeal. As soon as I got out of the car, I mean, I thought we were supposed to be good. I already told him that I was thinking about giving him some money.
Why did you show up there? What was the pretense? What did you think you were going there for? I heard it was a birthday party.
The chill. It was a birthday party.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we were at a birthday party. It was the dude's, the person I purchased the bike's birthday party. So I was allowed to come. And so, yeah, they circled me, and about four of them jumped on me, and that's all I remember. And then one was just holding me down, trying to, you know, choke me and get me some money. I just kept telling them, no, because I don't owe him money, and this is a dude who attacked me, has nothing to do with this. I don't even know why he's on me. So I'm confused as it is. I get pushed in the back, hit in the back of the head. It just wasn't fair. They didn't give me nothing. It wasn't right. It was premeditated.
When you arrived on the property, tell you, Kristen, they're going to jump you. They're going to jump you. Be careful. Watch out. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Can you...
It was premeditated. It was right after I got out of the car. It was just too late. Someone came around the other side. They had it planned out. It was premeditated. They were waiting for me. I mean, someone told me as I pulled up, they were like, they heard him say, Chris is here, let's go. And, I mean, that's just how it went.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how many people would you say were there at the time that this happened?
Oh, I'd say at least 30, 40.
Okay. And so now, in the Johnson family that your dad had brought up earlier, who's, you know, quote unquote, I got to say, respected question mark, and I'll call it protected,
yes,
okay? Because
mm-hmm.
from the sounds of it, I feel as though they are protected, okay? That people really,
you know,
would fear going up against them from everything that I've learned, okay? So how many in their family are there in the Johnson family, the children? Do you know?
I think there's like four of them?
Okay.
Yeah, there's four of them.
And how many sons are there?
Two.
Okay, and so it was at least one of the sons. Is that
mm-hmm.
is that correct? And we don't know
if he's
under 18.
Oh, yes. He's 18 for sure.
Tell his name. Give his name. This is a legend out there, listeners. Go ahead. I want to hear his name.
Ross Johnson. He's pretty bad.
Okay. Okay. So Ross Johnson is the one who attacked you. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
he didn't give me no fair one. He wanted to cheap shot me and jump on me. It wasn't right.
How many
it wasn't
people
fair,
were on
and then
top
I got pushed down. I'd say about 3-4. It wasn't right, it was premeditated.
Okay. That were beating you up.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, did this seem to be entertainment for them, or did it seem to be retribution for somebody that was like a distant acquaintance that supposedly you owed money to?
All I saw was cameras, so, I mean, it was a show for them.
It was a show.
It wasn't nothing. Yeah, it wasn't nothing, you know, about, it had nothing to do with the business, because I mean it was someone completely different. It was just junk fun for them, I guess.
What were your injuries, and how did you come out alive?
If I wouldn't have had multiple female friends there, you know, if I wouldn't have had any help from them, so, I mean, they were even attacking them, like they were taking some just to save me. So they weren't there, I probably wouldn't be here right now.
They were taking hits for you. I heard that they were jumping on top trying to protect you.
Oh, yes, ma'am. They sure were.
God bless them. Now, those are true friends, aren't they?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So now, what are your injuries as a result of this premeditated heinous act by Ross Johnson, allegedly?
Oh, yes. I have a broken jaw, and I had a cracked eye socket. It was fractured, my eye socket, my right eye socket, and my right jaw. I mean, he was sitting there hitting me and just trying to, he was getting pleasure out of it, but he just kept asking me for money, and I just kept telling him no. That's all I could do, because by the time they all knocked me down, he was on top of me, and all I could do was hold on and just give him one side of my face. That was it.
Okay, so I'm so glad that you're alive. I'm so glad that you are recovering, but this has been several months now, and you're certified nursing assistant, is that correct?
Yes, I got many certifications. It's just I had to stop working because of this. It was bad. I mean,
so you're
a
working man. You're
a
working man. You have a child to support. Now, would you consider this a hate crime, and why, if so?
Oh, yes, ma'am. It is because, I mean, the whole time. It had nothing to do with that. I was just a bunch of N-words and black, you know. I was just a bunch of heinous words, just all these hateful racial slurs. That was the whole time. That's all I heard. And there were so many people. There was at least 14 people that I didn't know that many people didn't like me. Like, I've seen them every day. That's how it works out here. You can be sleeping in someone's house, and then they wake up mad, and you're an N-word. And it's just how it goes out here.
Well, that's not okay. That sounds to me like it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not putting it down. But it just sounds to me, again, like it is what it is, and
mm-hmm.
we just stay out of their way. And, you know, I've heard about roadblocks going up. I've heard about all kinds of things.
And oh, yes. You'll get
we're running out of – go ahead.
I mean, you'll get to a roadblock. I mean, you'll sit there, and they'll take your license and ask you for your insurance. And the whole time they're running the dog around the car, I don't understand. And they're just sitting there asking me if I've ever had drugs in my car. Do I have drugs in my car? I'm like, search it. And they're like, go on, do you have insurance? As he's holding my insurance. Like, it's just, I go through this about every hot weekend they need some money.
Is this because you're black?
Come to my house for a seatbelt ticket, and it's ridiculous, the things that I've been to jail for. I mean, if you look at my record, I literally have resisting arrest. No. Let me start out from the beginning. I have public intox from when I was 14. They bring up some record that I should have been gone. I mean, I drink a beer and I had a beer.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I was like, I drank a beer and I took a breathalyzer and got a ticket. And I did community service and everything, and they lost track of it. They did all kinds of stuff. I've just not had good justice at all. I've always had to do stuff twice. I've been to jail for a seatbelt ticket 3 times. It's just same cop will take me to jail.
14 is the worst,
it's
though,
ridiculous.
Right? Is it public intoxication when you were 14 years old the worst that you have been,
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't finish. They bring that up on the night they were trying to arrest. They couldn't find anything to arrest me for. I was literally walking down the road, and it's a cop that I literally, every ticket I get is from this one cop. And
you're trying to follow something.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at, is you're a good guy. You know, you're not perfect. You know, but they're looking for something to harass you with, is what I've gotten from your father and from, you know, I've read the
paper. Yeah, I mean,
okay. And so this show is about injustice. And now nobody has done anything to help you. Nobody's been arrested. And this is several months later. You haven't gotten the district attorney to act on this. And this is several months later. The perpetrators supposedly have been investigated, but none of the witnesses have been investigated?
I mean, no, they haven't done anything. And you go up there and you can't get any help. I mean, you call. It doesn't matter if you go up there or call, you don't get anywhere. They act like they don't even know what you're talking about. And then they tell you to wait for the officer to come on tonight. So you have to come back again, and then you have to find him, and he never calls you. And then sometimes he gets back to you. It's just like he did his job, but, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like if you're an officer, you should be trying to push more for the law, kind of, you know, help me out more. I mean, you haven't seen me.
Now, let me ask you, if this was a Johnson boy, what would have happened? If the roles were reversed and this was a Johnson boy, what would have happened?
Oh, yeah, they would have definitely – I'd be in jail right now. I'd be locked up.
Okay.
I'd be gone.
So, okay. So the tolerance, quote unquote, would be very different. Okay. So listeners, okay, once again, this is, like I said in my promo earlier, is that this is something that should, and I believe will touch many people's lives. It's, you know, thank God the Christian is alive and surviving this. But this is a man who is a victim in Oklahoma of a hate crime, allegedly, okay, of biased treatment through the district attorney's office and other people that are involved that are supporting the prosecution of the alleged perpetrators in this case. And Christian Cross has not been treated fairly. He is not being treated fairly, and it appears because of the standing in the community of the Johnson family and the color of Christian Cross's skin. All right? So you don't have to be black for this to touch your heart. Many people see this happening. I have heard this is not an isolated incident. This is on this show tonight to let the listeners all go, oh, yeah, no, I know. This happens here. That happens there. This happens here. That happens there. I want to hear about it. We want to hear about this here because this is what is going to produce, what it's going to take to expose the injustices, the bias, the systematic corruption, okay? All this is prefaced by the word alleged, okay? But when we have enough of this, only will we be able to ensure the proper investigation and prosecution of the perpetrators of the crimes that allow this to happen, of the district attorney's offices, of the governor, of the attorney general's office, that once you reach out to them, they poo-poo it, turn you away as if you never even existed, okay? And when we have enough people that are talking up and saying, oh, yeah, that happened to me. Oh, yeah, that happened to a friend of mine. Oh, yeah, I know about this. Oh, yeah, I know about that. What Patrick and what Christian have done right now is they have been brave enough to come forward and be a voice for all of you that are listening or know that this is happening. And I encourage more of you to tell your story, to write your statements, to allow yourselves to be vetted so that we know this is something legitimately that's gone on or is going on. We need to hear from you guys out there. This is what's going to create a united front and say, no, we're not going to take it anymore. Now, we're not done advocating for the Cross family, and we're not done advocating for you listeners out there in Oklahoma that are enduring this, have endured it, live with the scars, are living with the scars, are somehow trying to wade your way through the corrupt system. I'm not going to say alleged on that one. Okay, that one's on me. I'm calling it corrupt in Oklahoma. This is what we need to talk about here. We're going to talk about the big stuff, and we're going to talk about the everyday stuff. And guess what? This everyday stuff, it's big because Christian Cross matters. Everybody here matters. And Christian, I want to thank you. I want to thank Patrick.
All right. Thank you
for coming
on.
I can only wish that we had much more time to talk with you, but I can let the listeners know we are going to follow up on this case that is taking place in give me the name of the town because I know there's a county.
Polo, Oklahoma. And LaFleur County.
Okay. Well, Patrick and Chris, like I said, I wish we had more time to talk with you, but we will be following up with you. I thank you. I have such gratitude towards you for being willing to come on and share your story. And at such late notice, because I had something plans that changed, and I'm glad you were able to come on. I'm glad we had the prior relationship, Patrick, where we were able to establish what has taken place.
Yes. Thank you very much. All
right.
I'm glad you gave us the opportunity to speak about it.
For sure. Never get to speak about anything.
Okay. So we're going to follow up. We're going to tell a little bit more of your story and follow up to this show. It'll be on the website. It'll on the Injustice in Oklahoma Exposed Facebook page. Listeners, please personal message me, comment, share. I'm getting stories left and right. Any support that people want to offer with helping me gather certain evidences and chart certain things would be a great help. If you can, if you can't, I completely understand and don't judge. Again, I'd like everybody to please, if you felt that this was a valuable forum and what you heard tonight that's going on, it's an everyday reality in Oklahoma and many other states for that matter. We're starting with Oklahoma right now. All right. Hopefully we're going to create a very successful template that can be used along with many other advocacy groups to help bring justice to every citizen that deserves it. Throughout not only Oklahoma, but our country and elsewhere. So thanks again for showing up. I encourage everybody to set your calendar. You're more than welcome. God bless you both.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you. So would everybody just set your calendars for next Sunday, depending on what time zone you're in, and we're going to have another courageous and brave whistleblower on that is exposing the FBI in Oklahoma for setting up Jerry Varnell in the Oklahoma bombing case. Failed, thank God, that just took place this past year. Marty, are you there?
I am.
Did you want to close this out, Marty?
Yeah, everybody, please tune into the shows every Sunday evening. Tomorrow evening we'll be abolishing probate. Tuesday night will be medical murder with Carly Walden. Thursday night I'll be back with whistleblowers. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back again. Good night.
Okay. Good night.